This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministry, teaching you the biblical principles on handling money. That's right, the Bible is our workbook. We'll show you how to get yourself out of debt and how to maintain a debt-free life. There is more information waiting for you at CompassCatholic.org. And when I say we are referring to the co-founders of Compass Catholic, John and Evelyn Bean. And a couple of weeks ago, we were doing a show and we started talking about mortgages and the differences in the monthly payments between a 15-year mortgage and a 30-year mortgage. And if you've done your homework, you know that the 15-year mortgage has higher monthly payments than a 30-year mortgage, but it also allows you to save tons of money in interest payments. So Evelyn, during that show, did ask a great question, and we want to spend this part of the show really diving deep into that question. So Evelyn, you start us off and kind of rephrase that question.
Wouldn't it be better to get a 30-year mortgage so you have a lower payment but makes the extra principal payment so you can pay it off in 15? And that way, if something happens to your finances, you're kind of hedging your bets because you can always drop back to the lower payment if, let's say, you lose a job or one of your incomes gets cut.
We've done that before, Evelyn. How do you think it worked for us?
I didn't say we did it right. I'm just saying, isn't that something our listeners would be thinking about?
There's a big issue with doing that. It makes all the sense in the world. And if you are obedient and disciplined, and that's going to be kind of the theme of this conversation we're having, especially the discipline part,
you're looking at me like I'm undisciplined.
It will work.
I think Steve's the one that's undisciplined.
Hey.
Don't drag you
into this. I just run the control.
But the problem is the first time something comes up that's an extra expenditure, that extra $250 or whatever it is on the month that goes to the mortgage goes poof.
Elsewhere. And then it's real easy to keep going elsewhere.
And then, yeah, once you get off track, it's pretty hard to get back on track.
So the idea is a good idea, but if you don't execute it, it really isn't helping you any at all.
Exactly. And that's the basis of our discussion. Planning is easy. Planning a budget is easy. Execution is hard.
That's especially true when you're talking about a 15-year time span. I mean, you have to be disciplined for 15 years in order to make this work.
Not only do you have to be disciplined for 15 years, you have to be disciplined for 12 months every year for 15 years. That's 180 times that you can be undisciplined.
That's a lot. So don't you think some people have done this and they're successful?
Well, the answer isn't 0%, because some people have been successful.
So it's 0.11111.
But it's nowhere near 100%.
Okay. So that gets back to self-discipline is hard.
Exactly. You know, execution is hard. Self-discipline is hard. But the core principles of having a good budget is really simple. You know what it is? Spend less than you earn. Bingo.
Yeah, that that is very simple, but most people don't follow that, do they?
And that's the end of today's show.
Well, and to spend less than you earn, you really need to find ways to cut your spending, and especially on big stuff like the mortgage, because Over a 30-year period, you're going to pay at least twice what the house value is.
Yeah.
Typically?
Pretty much. With the mortgage rates down around 3.5% or 4%, it won't get quite to 2%.
Double.
Spend less than you make. Invest in an emergency fund. And then pay off all your debt.
And diversify your investments.
After you've got your debt paid off, yep.
So that sounds like the similarity between being disciplined with your spending sounds like it's similar to the discipline you need to lose weight.
That's pretty much it. If you want to lose weight, eat fewer calories. So you want to save money, spend less than you earn.
Spend fewer dollars. Well, that sounds like it's so simple, and yet two-thirds of Americans are overweight, right?
Two-thirds of Americans are overweight, and 76% live paycheck to paycheck.
So just because something's simple doesn't mean that it's easy. There's a difference between simple and easy. Because if it was simple and easy, we'd all be skinny and be millionaires, right?
Skinny millionaires?
Skinny millionaires, yeah.
Simple just isn't easy. You got it right. So how are you going to make progress on the change in your life that seems really simple, but it's hard to put into practice? You know, financial change fits in this. So does health improvement, independent learning. Almost any positive habit or even routine change that somebody might want to make.
So like developing a prayer life, maybe?
That's another simple.
Pray every day in a certain time in a certain place.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I've tried to make a lot of different changes in my life, and sometimes they've been successful. And then if you look at me, you'll know that sometimes they haven't been quite so successful. You know, what's been the difference between success and failure?
Well, I think that one of the first things is that people tend to have a very long-term outlook. You know, it's real easy to say, I want to lose 20 pounds this year. But when you get down to passing up that piece of cake or not having the second helping at dinner or not having snacks from the machine at work, that's when it gets difficult. So it's very easy to do if you do it one step at a time, day by day.
Day by day. Break it down into the smallest common denominator. And that's typically day by day. But it could be hour by hour,
that's
depending
right.
on what your situation is. You know, it's fun to dream about having a whole bunch of money or being ultra thin. But those things are not going to happen tomorrow or even next month. Unless you win the lottery, but we don't suggest you play, so you're going to have to find somebody who wins who will give you money.
Well, playing the lottery doesn't do anything for your prayer life or your quest to lose weight either.
That's true. That's true. Those are all long-term things. The only way you're going to get there by taking it a single day at a time. The thought process is, what can you do today to move in a positive financial direction? Or in terms of your health, a positive direction. Today is all that matters. If you succeed today, you can feel good because you know it's a step in the right direction. And then you just do it again tomorrow. And then you do it again and again and again.
So once you start that process and keep doing it again and again and again, it gets to be a habit. Just
yes.
like the habit we have now with tracking every penny we spend.
Yes.
It's
yes.
just part of our lifestyle. We just do it without even thinking.
Yep. We keep track of pretty much every single penny. And there isn't a day goes by that I don't go into a store. Well, maybe there's a day that goes by because I don't go to the store every day. But, you know, every time I go to the store, I get some clerk that says, well, you want your receipt. Of course I want my receipts. How am I going to track my pennies if I don't know how much I spent?
And then you get the eye roll from the teenagers. Old man talking about money.
It happened last night. We
it
stopped
did.
To get dinner on the way to a meeting, and do you want your receipt? Yes, please. Yes, please.
Yeah, and then she said, there he is, killing another tree.
That's why we like the place that emails the receipts. That's much easier. So, you know, as you're doing this day by day thing, one of the things to keep in mind is to not get wigged out if you make a mistake one day or if things aren't moving in the same direction day to day. So you may lose a pound every week, and then all of a sudden one week you don't lose any weight.
Yes.
And sometimes that's a good idea. That's a good place where people jump off the wagon because, oh, didn't lose any weight this week. I can go back and eat all the junk food I like.
Yes, or maybe you forgot to write down the three things that you bought today out of vending machines or whatever. You know, don't sweat the small stuff there. Just realize that you got to do a better job and keep moving forward.
You know, and that's especially important when it comes to long-term investing. Because if you look at your investments every day, they're going to fluctuate quite a bit, won't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The stock market is up and down and in and out. And it'll go down for 6 days in a row. And then in 2 days, it's back up higher than it was before it started to go down. Especially when it comes to things like the stock market, you look at it from a long-term perspective, not on a day-to-day, hour-by-hour kind of perspective.
So maybe what you do is if you're thinking about retiring and you're looking at your retirement savings and how much you're gaining on that, you compare month to month, month end to month end, or year to year.
Yes.
Where was I May of last year? Where am I May of this year?
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, from an investment standpoint, it's more about where you are invested rather than what is the change on a day-to-day basis. If you are all out 100% stock market and you've got 3 years to retirement,
that's pretty risky. Yeah.
That's pretty risky. So in that kind of situation, you want to be invested in a with much less risk. But if you're 25 years old and you're 100% invested in the stock market, boy, go for it. You know, that dip, it's not going to make any difference in the long term.
Well, there's a name for that. What's that called? Dollar cost averaging?
Dollar cost averaging, exactly, exactly. I record the numbers on a daily basis, but I don't sweat those day-to-day numbers. I just look at the averages. You know, what's my average weight for June as opposed to my average weight for May? Or, you know, what did I spend in May as opposed to what did I spend in June?
Compared to the budget.
Compared to the budget, exactly, exactly. So as it relates to your savings, look at it on a year-to-year basis, not a day-to-day or month-to-month.
And this is why we talk about budgets, spending plan, almost every week on the show. The importance of having a budget, or if you like to call it a spending plan, that's fine. It's going to be a valuable part to help you not only get yourself out of debt, but continue to live a debt-free life. And if you're saving, well, I don't have much debt. It doesn't matter whether you have a lot of debt or very little debt. Start using a budget and watch how your spending habits will change. And now you can put that surplus into paying off your debt or into start a savings account. Maybe for retirement, for your children's education. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministry. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of the ministry, are with us today. And we're taking you through the five changes for your lifestyle, the five changes that are going to help move your finances in the right direction. And Evelyn, I believe, unless I lost something, we're up to number three.
The third thing to do is to spend time with people and surround yourself with people who are achieving or trying to achieve the same thing that you want. So if you're struggling to cut spending, hang out with frugal people and spend less time with people that like to spend money like water.
Yeah, if you surround yourself with people who are achieving or have achieved the thing that you most want in your life, means that you're naturally surrounded by life choices and behaviors that are going to lead to those achievements.
So if you hang out with frugal people, you're going to see, if you're not a frugal person, you're going to see how they live and what situations they're in when they make decisions, and a lot less confrontational when you're out in a group and, you know, you have that discussion about how we're going to split the checks.
Yes.
And the people that ordered the $50 dinner, when you ordered appetizers, say, well, let's just divide it up by 10.
Or they bought a bottle of wine and you didn't have any.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
You know, and I think it's really most evident when you're going out to eat or quote unquote partying with people on a, you know, a Friday
partying
night.
With people.
Friday night or something like that. When you're
out in a group.
Out in a group, yeah. Because you'll see people who, you know, instead of spending $15 or $18 on an entree, will spend $35. And they'll buy a bottle of wine or they'll buy several drinks. And that bill just adds up really fast. If that makes you uncomfortable, don't feel bad. I think that's good.
It's good to feel bad?
Well, it makes you uncomfortable because you're struggling for something a little bit different.
Yes.
And we found that in our lives.
Yes.
When we really bit the bullet and started to try to save as much as we could, we didn't go out hardly at all. But when we did go out, we made sure who we went out with.
Yes.
And we knew what their lifestyle was and how they would probably react to being out.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't go out with people who were spending lots of money.
And to this day, we still have one friend who, when she calls us up and invites us someplace, tells us how much it's going to cost just because she got used to dealing with us that way. It's fine. It's our reputation. So the important thing is to seek out people in your life that are achieving or have achieved the things that you want, and then spend more and more time with them, because over time, the way they live and the patterns of their life are going to seem more normal to you, and that'll help you implement those same habits in your life.
Absolutely. You're great. Right on there, Evelyn. Right on. So, fourth, go to extreme, but listen to your sense of burnout. You know, a lot of people suggest that the best way to achieve your big goal is to go with moderation. Well, we found out this didn't work too well with us. In fact, pretty much everything we've tried to do in moderation hasn't worked very well.
It's been moderately successful. So we're into extreme finances, right?
Well, I think it has to do pretty much with everything in our life. You know, if we just go moderately, the progress is slow, and we get disinterested or disheartened,
Well, you know, it's almost like being on a fence. Moderation is walking the top of the fence, where you can fall on either side, and you can fall on the side of being frugal, or you can fall on the side of being a spendthrift. But if you jump over the fence and you're on the frugal side, it's harder to go over back to the spendthrift side.
Yeah, I never liked walking across the top of the fence.
I thought that was a pretty good analogy.
So, you know, if you take our own personal financial challenges that we faced 30 years ago, we didn't do it lightly. Once we made up our minds that we had to make a change in our life. Now, please understand, it took us, almost 5 years to make up our minds that we needed to change.
That was a moderately slow process.
Well, that's, yeah, moderately. So, anyway, we didn't do it lightly, not even at first, when we made the decision. Not that we had a lot of choices. We were kind of at the end of our rope, but we dove headfirst into it with extreme frugality.
Let me say something here, because when a lot of times when people hear the word frugal, they think of a miserable life where you can't do anything or go anywhere and it's not fun. But we've had a lot more fun being frugal than we ever had when we were spending, because now we can spend money on what's important to us.
And when we spend money on what's important to us, we're not concerned, how to say this correctly,
we save the money ahead of time, so we're not concerned with paying the credit card bills.
Yes.
Once we do something.
Yes. Yeah. You know, like when we go on a trip for vacation or something like that, it's paid for before we go.
So we don't have to worry about the bills while we're there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's almost like you're being frugal with things that you really not high on your priority list.
Yeah. Things you don't care about that
much. Yeah. So having the vacation paid for before you leave your house for the week, it's a great feeling.
And to us, that's much more important than the fancy coffee or the lunch out or the fancy clothes. Or,
and to be honest with you, I don't even remember where we cut when we start saving for a vacation. I couldn't even tell you if we eat out once or twice less during the month. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just happens naturally because, again, you get into that habit.
Yes, you get into the habit of concentrating on what's important to you.
Well, as an example, one of the things that we like to do over Thanksgiving is get together with family. And we've been doing this for years and years and years. And typically we don't do it at home. We get away so that we're focused on each other. This morning I made the last payment on the house that we're staying at the beach for Thanksgiving. So we're 2.5 months away from Thanksgiving, something like that. And it's paid for. The only thing that's not paid for Thanksgiving is meals.
I was just thinking I have to cook the turkey, huh?
Yeah.
Actually, I thought John was going to say he made the last payment on the turkey.
Wow. I don't have that many people to come with us.
How big is that bird?
You have to figure out what works for you individually.
But you need to push yourself a little bit, too. It's not the, well, I think I'll try not spending a dollar a day. You know, that's $300 in the course of a year. That's good because you've made some progress, but you could probably do a lot more if you really tried.
Yeah, yeah. You got to focus on what's the important thing, and You know, we started this out, we were talking about burnout. Well, some people are worried that if they go all in, they're going to burn out really fast. And I think that we've discovered a way to, you know, just push burnout totally to the side. We found that it wasn't an issue. And if you read in our book, Your Money Counts, you'll see that we're big believers in celebrating our successes.
Now, let's define celebrate our successes, because some people might think celebrate our successes means we take a trip to the Bahamas when we saved $1,000 for our emergency fund, and that's not really what we're talking about.
That might be fun, but you're going to spend all the money you just saved and probably spend more. So we do things in a small way. For example, when you pay off that first credit card, you know, you start with the smallest one first, so you get that one paid off. And then for the very next dinner, do something really special for that dinner to celebrate the success of paying off that card.
And we're not talking about a dinner at a fancy restaurant.
No, I'm thinking about light a candle and put it on the dinner table and eat by candlelight.
So you're saving electricity, too.
You're saving electricity also, yeah. But you're celebrating, okay? And when you accomplish your next goal, like that paying off that second credit card, maybe you can take a walk to downtown if you've got a neat little downtown area, or to the mall, and you can get an ice cream cone to share.
Wait. I want my own ice cream cone. Thank you very much.
Well, maybe we get a sundae then, and we have two spoons.
I'll have my own ice cream cone. Thank you very much. And if you really want to splurge, you get a gelato, right?
Yeah. And, you know, once you get all your credit cards paid off, then you can go out to eat at a nice restaurant, and you can get a meal for less than, say, $20 each.
Nice restaurant?
You know, it's all relative, Evelyn. It's all relative. So if you're trying to improve your financial state, don't celebrate your successes over the last few weeks by spending money.
Yeah.
That's the key issue there. Celebrate your short-term successes and achievement of milestones. It makes you feel good. It will totally or almost totally wipe out any burnout kind of feelings. And, you know, it'll help you to see the success that you've made.
Well, and I think that what you were just talking about, John, is great. Can you imagine what would happen if mom and dad sat down to dinner with the kids and there were candles on the table? I mean, that would really get the kids' attention.
It'd probably freak them out.
What happened to the electricity, Mom?
Yeah, I was just going to say, who didn't pay the bill?
But wouldn't that be a nice way to get their attention and talk to them about what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish and why it's important?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, I think about ways to celebrate your success.
Yeah, yeah. Simple, creating a budget is simple. Simple doesn't mean easy. You know, you create a plan to fix your budget, to fix your finances, that's simple. The execution of that is not so simple. The choices that you have to make are hard, and they're not the typical choices that you've been making in your life, so you have to change your way. And the other thing is that our society doesn't support the changes that you probably are trying to make in your lifestyle.
So you'd be swimming upstream.
You're going to go against the norm. And that's the reason that 76% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Perhaps it's time to try the harder road, the road that Jesus outlined over 2,000 years ago. You just might find that the harder road isn't quite as hard as you thought.
Now, the reason the road may not be as hard is the fact that you are ready for a change in your attitude towards money. And at Compass Catholic, we're here to help. We can show you how to work your way out of debt, and the best part, how to live a debt-free life. We have no secrets. We use the Bible. So these guidelines for handling money have been around for thousands of years, and they work. I can attest to it. We have a 9-week study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can learn more about the study, the 9 topics that are discussed. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, and look for Navigating Your Finances God's Way. There's also a contact form if you'd like to speak to someone about having a Bible study at your parish, or you can even do it at your home with a bunch of your friends. And before we leave today, let's get to a question from one of our listeners, John and Evelyn. We are totally debt-free, except for our mortgage. We have a fully funded emergency fund. Oh, that's great. Should I continue to save for retirement, or pay off the house before contributing anything else towards retirement.
It sounds to me like you're at destination 5 on the Compass Money Map, and that's where your focus should be both on paying off the mortgage and investing or saving. So I'd split any monthly surplus in half, and I'd use half to pay off the house and the other half to go towards the retirement.
If you have a question or two regarding any financial challenges that you're working through, send the questions to John and Evelyn at ask@compasscatholic.org. That email address again is ask@compasscatholic.org. If you'd like to listen to some of the podcasts that we've done over the last year, simply go to compasscatholic.org. Scroll down just a bit on the homepage and you'll see Compass Podcasts. Click it on and take a look at the various topics that we've discussed. Thank you so much for listening. A reminder, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.